We love to categorize and stereotype people, we Americans do, don't you think? If you think or act a certain way, then comes the label. If, for example, you are for women's rights, radically so, and for abortion, then by definition, you must be a liberal. To the contrary, if you are dead set against abortion and want the practice outlawed at any stage, then, of course, you must be a conservative. Then, of course, come the political labels like Republican, Libertarian, Democrat, Independent, even Communist, or Socialist in the political arena. No matter that most Americans have thoughts, opinions, and ideas, and beliefs which transcend categories and stereotypes, and cross over established parameters, don't you do that? I do. Once you are labeled, it seems always to follow, does it not? So, are you liberal? Or are you conservative, at least in the majority? But of course, there are considerable differences between conservative and liberal. Very much so. There are far more differences than similarities and agreements. When the issues occur, the differences prevail. The differences in thinking divide. They divide people. There seems to be in America today no common ground. No common ground. You are liberal or you are conservative, and that's that. What's there to talk about? But perhaps the biggest difference between liberal and conservative is economic. Economic. It is, came the old cliche from the Bill Clinton era, the economy, stupid. In other words, it's most important. That, it seems, is far and away the number one issue in America, and it seems it always will be. Money. Money. The economy. A conservative, we are told, believes strongly in capitalism. That is, bedrock economic freedoms. The freedom of the individual, especially to live life, earn according to his or her capabilities, and to enjoy the fruits of that work ethic and those earnings. All of that, with as little government control or involvement as possible. By that very brief definition, are you a conservative or are you a liberal? The so-called liberal, by contrast, seems to be very much opposed to capitalism, especially in any extreme form, and rather champions all or a significant part of the philosophy of socialism. How about that word, socialism? Like Bernie Sanders? In essence, socialism would have government control the economy, and not individuals control the economy. Government is good, and individuals are greedy, so say the socialists. And of course, the extreme socialists, the communists, and the nihilists who wish to control everything economic, everything. By that brief definition, are you a liberal? The liberal, the socialist, believes in an economic leveling, That is, no one should be too rich and no one should be too poor. And of course, it is the almighty government, all wise and good, which decides the economic parameters, that is, how much you can earn and how much you should earn. Would you like to live that way? No matter how bright or creative or hardworking or expert, there is only so much money you should be allowed to make, so say these ultra-liberals. There should never be, according to the socialists, a Warren Buffett or a Bill Gates, men worth tens and tens of billions of dollars. Can you fathom that? I can't. And there should never be an individual or family living below the government-established poverty line, so they say. Both extremes are unacceptable, and only government, all good and all-wise government, can decide how this leveling, these standards of economic equality as they define them, should be determined and consequently applied. The benefits, especially economic, of any society should be equally distributed somehow, and the work product, work ethic, and ultimate economic contribution of any individual should be re-examined, reinterpreted and reevaluated, especially reevaluated. There may not be, says the socialist, that much difference between one impoverished and on welfare and a Mark Zuckerberg worth perhaps $200 billion. Can you believe that? I can't even fathom that. $200 billion. No matter that Zuckerberg produced something of incredible value for all Americans and even humans the world over, Facebook. No matter how original, different, or better, he should never have profited, Zuckerberg should not, so many hundreds of billions of dollars. Therefore, level economically and redistribute Zuckerberg wealth. Doesn't that remind you of Obama and company? Get back that money so good government can redistribute it. Oh, my soul. That's happening more and more in America. The socialist as well is very much against competition, especially aggressive competition. Capitalism, on the other hand, views competition as the lifeblood, the energy source of the entire economy. But fair competition, ethical competition, ethically competing for an ultimate economic position which produces money, profit, but much more. Much more, says capitalism. Competition brings out the best in individuals and business entities. Do you find that in your life? Do you roll over when things compete against you, or do you stand up and become a better person? The more aggressive the competition, says the socialist, the more unfair and unethical, and therefore good old government must step in and impede and prohibit and otherwise completely control, that's the operative word, control such economic conduct for the good of society and the leveling off of the individual. Do you believe that? Is that the way you live your life? Do you not wish to get out there and compete and do better? Yet the most dramatic successes, the most benefit for a free and democratic society, come from the production of profit. Business entities at work at their best, which in fact are for the good of society and for significant benefit to the majority of individuals. A bustling economy grows a society. Repeat, a bustling, aggressive economy grows a society. It recreates wealth and allows individuals the security of employment and the opportunity to increase earnings as that employment stabilizes and grows. Are you in that kind of position? If not, why not? Opportunity. That is opportunity for every individual. That's what America's all about. That's what capitalism is all about. It's there, the opportunity is, for you to seize it. A growing economy, by definition, creates opportunity. It does. Creates more of it, which really brings out the very best in all of us. Don't you think so? So that we would want to be part of the process, part of a growing economy, part of fair competition, and produce for ourselves a better life and share in the benefits as they occur. Does that make sense to you? Is that the way you think? Is that the way you live? No matter the socialist approach, there can be no individual anywhere who does not wish opportunity. That is my firm belief. Economic opportunity. A teenage girl babysits in order to get more, to get more, to get ahead, to get more money. A teenage boy mows lawns, delivers papers, works part-time at McDonald's. Why? To get more, to get ahead. That is opportunity at work. To pursue opportunity and gain is strong evidence of the work product, the economic desires in the individual, evidence of the desire of that individual to participate in the economic benefits of society while at the same time becoming a productive factor in the further production of benefits through productive work. Wow, sounds good to me. Then a business career develops and expertise follows. Education years beyond high school produce a professor, expert and tenured, above the others, above, hey, better than the others. A lawyer becomes top of the field legally, better than others, competitive with others. Plumbers and electricians become the best at their trades, setting new and better standards, and perhaps ultimately owning their own businesses. I love that. So, the economic system of capitalism goes, and it goes on, and with it comes growth, new benefits, better standards of living, and ultimate fulfillment of the individual involved. Ultimate individual fulfillment. It is the work ethic, the competitive work ethic of the individual, which drives the capitalist society. Are you part of that? Do you believe in that, like most conservatives do? Or do you take a more liberal approach? But it is the control of government and consequently society which fuels socialism. Competition, economic competition, is the enemy. Unbridled capitalism is evil, so the socialists say. Therefore, there must be Dodd-Frank, perhaps one of the most controlling pieces of financial legislation ever generated. We, the government, must control the economy, the banks, and Wall Street, and hedge funds, no matter the good they do, so that we, the government, can determine how they lend, how they utilize money, and otherwise, as individual and non-government entities, control or influence the economy. That's not the way it should be, says the government through Dodd-Frank. We, the government, should make those decisions. We, the government, says the socialist, we should have an extremely active Federal Reserve. You know what that is, don't you? The government organization which controls dollars, interest rates, and so much more. Individual banks and financial entities cannot be trusted to do the right thing. But when it comes to money, greed and a lust for profit will ultimately prevail at the capitalistic level. Wow. Do you believe that? Even though there are, of course, some greedy people, do you believe that capitalism at its core is a greedy economic philosophy? Really? The socialistic tending government intends at all times to control this economic evil. Wow. Unbelievable. Get them out of my life. I believe in the Reagan approach. The less government, the better. But the ultimate weapon of the socialist is the tax. The more taxes, the better. The higher the tax rates, the more money comes under the control of government. The more money government can take from the economy and spend its way, the better for society, so goes the mantra. Do you believe that? Do you believe that government can wisely spend money with the waste, fraud, and corruption that goes on in Washington? So many Americans forget that in the era surrounding the Great Depression of 1929, tax rates rose to a high of, you ready for this? 90%. Tax rates had a high rate of 90% of personal income. Can you possibly imagine earning $100 and having the government take $90 in taxes? Can you imagine that? Well, guess what? It once did. Today, the highest tax rate is at or about 40%, far below the once 90%. Say the socialists who have an avowed objection to that tax rates, bring it up. Get it as close to 90% as possible. 40% is unfair. Oh, my soul. Give me a break. The goal at all times of the ultra-liberal is to tax the rich, whoever they are, and whatever is rich. Obama, in his infinite wisdom, his deeply socialistic wisdom, thinks that the maximum anyone should make is at or about $250,000 annually, no matter the profession or expertise or work ethic, and anything above that should be severely taxed. Severely taxed. Perhaps back to the old rate of 90%. I think Obama would love to see that. It is so interesting in America how a man who never held a competitive job, that's Obama, or never worked productively and economically in society, that's also Obama, could determine in his infinite wisdom what people should make where does this man come from? But the socialist and all like him pontificates, no matter how inaccurate or naive, knowing little or nothing about the economy or about business or the hard work or effort invested to make things successful. Would an Obama know what it takes to work in business with the demand, the competition, the work ethic required to make things happen and live a successful, productive life? Obama would have no earthly idea. The tax implemented by the dreaded IRS is the ultimate weapon of the socialist. Get that money away from the individual, from capitalism, and back into the socialistic vortex. Two clashing philosophies, theories of society and government. Capitalism and socialism. Wow, they are as different as night and day. By the way, if you were one or the other, which one are you? And now there comes a man like Donald Trump, an avowed proponent of open and aggressive capitalism. The so-called economic greed, which the socialist sees, is in fact good for America, so says Trump. Trump believes in an aggressive, opportunistic, fully and unfettered capitalism, no matter how he would placate the liberal. And then, on the opposite extreme, comes Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist who would control and tax and otherwise make certain that government, not individuals, run the economy. That anti-capitalist aggression on the part of Sanders even forces a so-called timid, liberal centrist like Hillary Clinton to move left, even far left in her economic positions. And out come the Hillary Clinton proposals, like a $15 per hour minimum wage, that was Sanders also, which, if implemented, would produce a rampant unemployment to the detriment of the young and the poor and the elderly. It would. They simply wouldn't get hired. Why? Because businesses cannot afford that rate, no matter to the socialists. Virtually everything the government takes never reproduces or reinvests itself in the economy. It is spent, not invested, once and done, gone forever. It would be really interesting for America to have a choice for election of President November 2016 of Donald Trump Republican and Bernie Sanders Democrat. Wouldn't that be interesting? Such an election option would go far beyond the traditional definition of liberal and conservative. We the people would have as president one who is an avowed capitalist on the one hand, and on the other, an avowed and open socialist. America would be vastly different for 4 years, depending upon the one who occupied the White House. Might happen. How would you vote? The vast majority of Americans want opportunity, don't you? Don't you? The vast majority of Americans want to grow economically. They have no problem. In fact, they champion fair competition. Again, that is so because they, we, all of us want to do better. We want to work differently and make good money and good things happen for their families and themselves. Don't you want to do that? Boy, I do. They are really good capitalists. But at the same time, even those capitalists are concerned with the poor. They are. So am I. There should indeed be a fair minimum wage with certain benefits. I don't know what that is, but it should be fair. Perhaps there should be a certain tax consideration for those individuals, somewhat lower, but with an understanding of a tax preference. A benign capitalism would welcome a safety net where needy, truly needy individuals are aided by government, whether Medicare and Medicaid, and Social Security, and food stamps, and the like. Of course, we need to protect those who cannot protect and defend themselves. But that economic safety net, that social safety net, that's not the province of the liberal, but in fact, the other side of a productive capitalism. The other side of a productive capitalism. So I ask you, my fellow Americans, which are you? Are you essentially capitalist or socialist? You are, no matter who you are, some of each. You really are. You should take a hard look at that and define your philosophies one by one. The more capitalistic you are, the more you tend conservative and Republican. The more socialistic you are, the more liberal you are, the more you tend Democrat. And you will have a choice, a clear choice in November, to vote the candidate for president who best reflects what you believe. A clearer choice, perhaps, than you may have ever had before. The one you elect, the one we elect, our next new president, post-thankfully Obama. The candidate we elect from either party may well determine the economic future of our beloved America forevermore.